Good morning. I'm so thankful to be here with you here today. I'm thankful for everyone participating online as well. We're going to take a pause from our series in 1 John and to talk about something pretty exciting, and that's his Alaskan mission, and that God has been doing a lot of things here in Alaska, and it's been really exciting and encouraging to see over the years his hand in many things, and he's doing much more than we can even possibly imagine or even perceive. But it is very humbling and thrilling to see and be able to express the excitement and thankfulness for the things that we can acknowledge his actions in. I've gotten to travel to lots of places around the world, and getting to spend time here in Alaska, there is something unique and special with Alaska and with the church here. And I want to talk about what Christ has been doing through all of us here over the years and in our participation in his work. I want to encourage you with what you have been involved in different ways through connecting with myself and others that have been sent out and working with the church throughout the whole state, and that our connection is a participation in this work that Christ has sent us out into. For those of you who know us, which are quite a few of you, know that my daughter's name is Unity. And her name is Unity because of the impact on our lives, and we've seen the impact in each other's lives of when God's people are unified together with God and one another, that changes the whole world. And the verse that Drew just read for us here in Psalms 133, that it is good and pleasant when God's people dwell together in unity, that dynamic of being God's people living together in unity, that those three things are completely world-changing. That those three things, being God's people living together and doing so in unity, it is what radically changes this whole world to the way that the Lord has intended it to be. And that type of dynamic is a target, is a goal, is something we strive for on every level, to be God's people, for us to live together and to do so in unity. And that in itself could be a lifelong series of pursuit of diving deeper into those things of being God's people, living together and doing so in unity. But we were so moved by that dynamic. And we saw our daughter while she was yet to be born, and Annie was pregnant in our baby shower here that many of you helped host, and seeing God's people coming together to serve and to bless, and just the effects that was having on each other's lives, on our lives, and we were so moved by that we realized this child who's not even here yet is already causing people to become more unified with God and each other, and that's why we named her such. And every time I see her, I think of that. I'm reminded of that, of how this is not just a nice thing. This is God's design. And as this psalm poetically describes this oil running down the beard of Aaron, who was the first Levitical high priest for God's people, that this type of dynamic is God's design. It's not just God looking down from heaven, like, well, that's sweet that they're together. That's his structure. It's his design. And we're going to look at some scriptures today that this type of cohesion and harmony and camaraderie and commitment with God and his people is God's mission, is for us to be one with him and one with each other. One of my favorite verses on this subject is John 17:20-21. And this is Jesus praying in the garden soon before his crucifixion. And his prayer at this time, he says, "Is my prayer is not for them alone," which he had just got done praying for the apostles, the disciples. He says, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message," which is you and I, "that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." And I point to this because it's the same as Psalm 133, that when we are God's people and we are one with God and one with each other, there's a profound effect. And it's like heaven on earth when there's that dynamic present here on the planet. And as Jesus is saying here, the result of this unity, as you see here at the end of this verse, the world may believe that Christ was sent to earth. And as someone who gets really excited about trying to be light to the world and trying to think of different methods of evangelism and ministry and trying to disciple people, there's 1,000 different good ideas out there and 100,000 bad ideas out there for what people have suggested were ways to connect to the people around us and to get the message ringing out to the world. And this stops me in my tracks every single time I study it and reflect on it and pray about it. And that the thing that makes the gospel believable is you and I becoming more one with God and more one with each other. And that is the goal. That is the target. That's what our lives should be entirely striving towards, built around, focused on, invested in, is drawing closer to God, becoming more one with Him, and then also becoming more one with each other. And in that relationship, the world looks at that relationship and realize this did not come from man. This did not come from earth. This came from somewhere outside, and there's now something inside these people that was not there before, and it sets Christianity apart as not just one group of many, not just one of many different ways, but there's something unique about Christianity where people from any tribe, tongue, or nation, age, ethnicity, background, that there's now a unity. There's something binding them together that nobody else has, and it's the very love of God and God's own spirit and God's own word and God's own promises all taking effect, not just in one person, but in a whole people. And that force of love tells the whole world that this is actually real. This isn't just an interesting idea. So this is the goal. And when we zoom in on this and we start reflecting on this, there's some big words being said here in this passage of how unified are we supposed to be. He says, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. And you think about how close is Jesus the Son and God the Father, how one are they? And that's what Jesus is praying that we're going to have with each other and also with Him. And it's not just like, okay, I tolerate this person. It's not just I can accept being in the same room with them, or I can claim association with them. I'm a member in the same place. The depth of this connection is geared towards being just as connected as Christ and the Father are. And that's what we should, that's the example we have, and that's what we get invited to share in as well. In addition to that, in this passage, how many people are we supposed to be connected to? Jesus says that they all may be one. All's a big word. All is a very big word. He doesn't say everyone within like 10 miles. That all these people that believe in Christ through the apostles' word, that all of them would be one. That's, again, a big, big word. And something we are really gung-ho about is looking for, that's the technical term, gung-ho. I think it's the theological term for having this type of zeal. Something we're really excited about is being the church that Jesus designed. Valuing certain traditions, but examining scripture exclusively and looking at how did Jesus build his church? What does he desire? And letting that spirit be the motivation for why we do things and trying to obey Christ and be his church, not just what we've come to accept or what we're comfortable with, but testing every spirit, looking at ourselves and looking where does the Lord want us to go, and letting him be the voice and the direction for that. So in this passage, we see he wants all of us to be one. And so that makes me want to ask, what does that look like? I read the book of Acts, and we look at chapter 9, verse 31, and I find a very interesting passage on this. We see that the church throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. So here we have congregations in a regional level between different places of Samaria, Galilee, and Judea. And there's peace amongst them. And it's in that environment that the church then continued to grow and to multiply. I've heard several times the thought process of, you know, hard times producing good people produce, you know, good times produce kind of bad people produce hard times. And this is like this cycle. And there's some reasoning of like how persecution on the church can really intensify people's faith, and the church can grow a lot under persecution. And we can see that in history when there's pressure on the church often does thrive under persecution. But persecution is not an essential ingredient for growth, and that the church can grow in times of peace. And in this country, even though our culture as a whole continues to slide and shift in a more dark direction, we have relative peace in the amount we can travel and speak freely, and that we can have this a society in which we're not, our lives aren't necessarily threatened for our faith. But more importantly than that, pursuing to have peace amongst each other as Christians on a regional level is an environment that is going, that has shown growth, and it's that desire to be one as God's people. And Alaska is really special in that we have 17 congregations, approximately, that we've gotten to travel to and connect with throughout the state, and to promote peace. In that, congregations are autonomous. We're not telling other congregations what to do, but we have an awareness of each other and an investment in each other and a camaraderie with each other. And we've been trying to fan that flame as much as we can, and it's been astounding the depths and the blessings that have come from this connection. So I show you this map because this has been our lives for the last 8 years being up here, of traveling around the state, investing in these locations, helping develop the leadership of them, and I'm going to speak on that here in a moment. But I show you this map because something cool about Alaska is, depending on the season and your hobbies or your interests or your jobs and things that happen, a lot of times people get to move around the state a lot. And I want to show you where your brothers and sisters are, so as you travel or move, you know that there's a location here of your people that you might not know the names of yet, but you can have a kindred spirit with them already and bond and grow deeply in that. So up in the north, at the very top, we have the Northern Lights Congregation in Fairbanks. And then next to it, we have the Eielson Church of Christ, there with the Eielson Air Force Base. And then coming down into the Matsu Valley area, you have the Valley Congregation, which is us. And then you have the Wasilla Congregation down in Wasilla. You have Eagle River, which is the Springbrook Church of Christ. Then you have Anchorage Church of Christ and South Anchorage Church of Christ. There's a couple families in Valdez and in Seward that have places of meeting. We have Nikiski and Soldotna, Anchor Point and Homer, Kodiak, Sitka, Juneau, and Ketchikan. And we've had the privilege of getting to personally travel to all these locations except Ketchikan, and hopefully that will change in the near future. But I look at this map and I have so many memories and emotions just looking at this map of all these different places. And I know some of you have traveled with us into these places and have gone yourselves to these places. But I hope that moving forward from here, you can know these are where your fellow brothers and sisters are, and we can invest more and serve them more as time goes on. I'm going to speak more to that. So in connecting to all these different locations and getting to speak there and help encourage things or challenge things these years, something that became apparent that would really bless these different locations is the need for long-term leadership and local leadership. Because me coming there once a month or a couple times a year and staying for a weekend or a week would be very beneficial, but not nearly as beneficial if they had a more full-time, long-term leadership localized in that place. And so the different colors on these triangles here are representing which congregations have full-time leadership right now and which ones do not. And something that we've been really focusing on is trying to develop leaders and help get preachers and missionaries planted in these locations to develop more teachers and preachers there and elderships there. And so the thinking for that is what we see in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, where Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. And so having preachers planted in these locations is what's going to help build up this body. And so we've been really intentional with not only trying to maintain unity with these places, but to also help them have the leadership that Jesus designed for them to have. And this role of a preacher and an eldership are not just something that's pleasant to have. It's not something that's traditionally has come to become a norm, but it's something Christ himself has given to the church for their equipping and for the building up of the body of Christ. And so looking to, again, follow the pattern that Jesus has for his church, that having this kind of leadership is something built into the design. We just finished building our house about a month ago. There's still a few things to finish, and hopefully you can come over and see for yourself the things that, you know, how it's turned out. But I have some thoughts sometimes on the house of, man, how insanely hard would it have been to build this house using no tools? And just the thought of trying to hammer something with your hand, hammer a nail into a board, and just, I guess maybe you could do it, but just how mangled you would get, and just to do one nail, I was thinking, how many nails are in this house? Like, you know, 100,000, maybe more? And just the sheer amount of pain, let alone impossibility or just insane difficulty, and probably it's just not doable to build that structure using only my bare hands. And then I'm sure you've all experienced different ways just how pleasant it is when you're trying to do something, you just realize you're using the wrong tool, and then you get the right tool for the job, and it just works perfectly. It's like, oh, that's such a satisfying feeling when you have the right tool for the job. Well, Christ built the church, and he has called his saints to live a certain way. He's called for us to be unified and to be lights in this world, and he's given us the equipment to do his will. And one of those things is having leadership as he designed them to be, to equip the saints for good works. And so having preachers and shepherds and having evangelists and elders involved and serving inside a congregation is not just beneficial, it's something Christ designed and has given to the church for its benefit. And so in stepping out in faith and helping congregations take steps in this direction, we've just seen tremendous growth, and it's exciting to see, having the right tool for the job. So the last 3 years, I travel out of the state occasionally, as well as do a lot of phone calls and networking and trying to recruit preachers and missionaries to come up and join Alaska. And that's been really exciting to see come to more fruition. In less than the last few years, this has been part of your work in sending me out and also helping me make connections in different ways. And I want to share with you what you've been involved in these last few years. So in the last few years, we've been able to connect with a man named Ben Buchanan. Many of you have met him. He's been here for a few years. He's now the minister with the Springbrook Church of Christ in Eagle River. Shane Blevins, just about a year ago, we were able to help him get connected with the Nikiski Church of Christ, and he's now the full-time minister there. Brandon and now Catherine in Kodiak, they've been there since about 8 months now, and they got married 6 months ago, and they've been doing really well in Kodiak. And then Dominic and Heather, they came here about 6 months ago. They've been connecting a lot with the Wasilla congregation. And then many of you know Jeff and Amber Smith are going to be coming up here to join this work, and they're going to be here in just a couple months. And it's an exciting time to have more hands on deck with this ministry of promoting unity and helping develop leadership throughout Alaska. And we have some interns coming up here soon, too, of Tyrus and Rebecca, that we're going to hopefully get connected with the Eielson Church and maybe somewhere else. And I show you this because this is just one layer of this congregation's mission of looking to serve one another here, but also to be of service to everyone in the state and even the whole world, and with Lauren in Thailand and many other places and peoples. But this this involvement that we have of looking to be unified all together as God's people, and then also serving them in ways we can. And one of the ways we're able to serve them is helping develop leadership in these places. With not, we don't want to become Rome here, and you know, and have like this is a an umbrella congregation that's over all these other places. We really respect the autonomy of different locations, but we want to introduce them to people, pray for them. Look how we can be of service to them, ask them what do they need, meet them where they're at, and never seek to control, but always look to serve in any way that we can. And that connection has been very, very exciting and fruitful. In addition to these missionaries coming up here and being sent out and getting planted in these locations, we've also had a mission team here these last few years, and we've had over 20 AIMS students from the Adventures and Missions Program be working with us here, as well as many young adults and other members here in this congregation that have jumped in on lots of different levels of being sent out and going out for weekends or weeks at a time to these different places throughout Alaska to serve for the service projects, teaching classes, preaching, serving in all sorts of different ways. And it's been thrilling to see how many people raise their hands and say, here am I, send me, whether it's for the weekend or whether it's for years or whether it's to some other extent, people willing to step out in faith to go serve one another. It's just been so exciting and thrilling to participate in. And it's there's lots of ways that this spirit here of wanting to serve and be together has manifested. I'm excited for us to be hosting lectureship here in just a few months where these locations, all these preachers from around the state, every year we try to come together, and many, many Christians from around the state all come together as well, and we have this weekend of being together, and it's always so enriching. I really encourage you to participate here in a few months, as well as we have our summer Bible camps that many of you are involved in, which are staffed by Christians throughout the state, and the youth from the whole state come together to spend a lot of time together. And these types of activities of where we're not just looking at people as arm's reach, but we're trying to be God's people in a larger pool is something that I hope we continue to deeply dive into. And it's been very enriching, very rewarding. It's also at times been a struggle being connected to all the strengths and all the struggles of many different congregations. It is a heavy weight to carry at times, but your support, your encouragement, your involvement has been a tremendous blessing through all of this, and I thank you for it. Which leads me to my last verse I want to share with you this morning. It's in Colossians 4, 2 through 4. And this is Paul speaking to the church, and he's asking them, pleading with them, for prayers, and I want to end with this passage. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. You guys have in so many ways been involved in all this work, And I know prayer has been a fundamental part of it. And I encourage you desperately for so many reasons to continue in prayer for this work here, this place here, and for me specifically. But I have been so moved by many of your desire to serve and be involved. I will never forget when we started having mission teams come up, our first mission team here with Jordan and David, for those of you who recall them, and we were looking to get them equipped to serve here, and one of the things they needed was a vehicle, and we were looking to help them purchase a vehicle, and word got out though they were looking for a vehicle, and within 30 minutes of that, I got a phone call. I won't say who. I got a phone call from somebody here and saying, I hear that they need a vehicle. I just got a vehicle. They can have mine. I was like, that is very, very generous. And we ended up doing that. And then 30 minutes after that, someone else called. Hey, I heard that they needed a vehicle. I have a vehicle. I want them to have mine. It's like, well, somebody beat you to it. Someone just gave them a vehicle. And that person was like, are you serious? Well, I'm going to pay for their gas the whole time they're up here. And it's just this spirit of like, well, I'm this in Romans, it talks about outdoing one another and showing honor. It's just that idea of like, oh, I'm going to help out no matter what. And that's not just nice. That moves me deeply in the camaraderie that we share here collectively in different roles of wanting to serve one another, to be God's people. And I wish to encourage you in that your efforts have not been fruitless here. And there's been bumps along the way, but there's so many moving parts to slow down and look back and to say, wow, like God has been so good. And this is all by his work. It's not by us. This is him working through his people to do his will. And it's just exciting to see this is what our lives are about. It's not just trying to pursue our own personal hobbies and adventures. It's to be used by him. And I want to show you that you're part of something much bigger than just yourself. And to embrace that and to lean into that. And our lives are being used for good things. And that the church, in a lot of ways, in good ways, is growing in Alaska. And I hope that that momentum is only beginning as the church here continues to grow. There's, like I showed you on the map, there's those 17 locations of Churches of Christ in Alaska. And just looking at the history of Alaska, there hasn't been another Church of Christ planted that has been sustained in probably 30, 40 years. And so I just want to be prayerful about what we can be of service to this community in this state and to be able to be stepping out in faith in every area. And we have to be doing that in prayer. We have to be just saturated in prayer through all of this. And this passage here in Paul, in Colossians about Paul, there's some things here that I was familiar with. There's some things that I've really learned from this passage. The one I was familiar with was this idea of that God may open to us a door for the word, and that through prayer, different circumstances can happen, that different opportunities can present themselves because of the prayers to God requesting for those moments to serve in different ways. That's an exciting fact, that our prayers can cause different opportunities of service and of light to be shown. That's very thrilling. Something that is stunning to me also is what Paul says at the end of this, where he says that I also may be able to speak the way I ought to speak, depending on your translation, that I may make it clear, is how I ought to speak. And that Paul's speech is going to be affected by the prayers of the Colossians. And that dynamic is mind-blowing to me. That if I'm out teaching and speaking, I'm speaking right now, the very next sentence I say might be better, more clear, because you're praying for me right now. That, when it gets into like free will and other things, like it starts to get into areas that like, I don't know how this works, but I know that it's true. That any speaker, any teacher can speak more clearly because of our prayers together. And just this is not Mike's show putting on a performance I have rehearsed for you, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. But there's an involvement through here, and prayer is a direct part of that. And for you to be involved in this work, praying for the teachers and the ministers and the evangelists and the missionaries around here, your prayers are going to change how things are communicated. And clarity is something that I've found to be so important as a teacher, because we're talking about some really deep things most of the time, and it's possible to say things truthfully but also not understandably. And some of you have heard my lessons at times and like, I think that's right, but I have no idea what that is. And how clarity is just such an important thing. If no one understands what you're saying, this is not very useful. And so praying for us to speak in a way that's understandable, that there's clarity there, and that your prayers cause that to happen. I find that to be so exciting, to invite you in this ministry of not only praying for new opportunities of service, but that your prayers actually directly affect mine and Robert's and Lauren's and other people's behavior. And Now that I think about it, there are times where I'll say something, I'm like, oh, somebody was praying for me, because that came out way clearer than I think I could have done by myself. And so I thank you for your prayers. Your prayers have been powerful, and I want to show you how this has been a blessing, and that we participate in this ministry in every way we can, and one of those ways is certainly prayer. My last analogy on this, and we'll wrap up with this, is in missions, there's different roles the body has in reaching out to the world. Just like a hand reaching out to something, there's a lot of moving parts and muscles that go into that action. And so it's the analogy is that if someone has fallen down into a well, and then one person gets a rope tied around them and is lowered down into that well by 10 other people, that one person that's being tied is reaching out and connecting that person, but all 11 people are reaching out to save that person in the well. And y'all are sending us out through support, through prayer, through connections, through vehicles, through so many other things. You're sending us out to these places and bringing us back in. And this is not our show, this is the Lord's work, and you are all part of it in different ways. And I want to encourage you and show you what you've been involved in on so many ways over the years. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. But I want us to move forward in here, continuing this, and doing so entirely in prayer, entirely with the pursuit of, we want to be one with the Lord, we want to be one with each other, and it's in that solid, committed, sometimes bumpy, but always with God in the center relationship that then broadcasts out to the world that this is real. This isn't just nice at times. This is the real deal, and we want to share it with everyone around us. So I'm very, very thankful to have gotten to serve with you so far to this point, and I'm excited for us to continue together in learning how we can be more unified with the Lord and with each other, and then for that to ripple out throughout Alaska and even into the rest of the world. So I love you all dearly, and I'm excited to see what the Lord will continue to do with us as we strive to serve him as he calls us to. If there's any needs here this morning, please let us know how we can help in any way while we stand and sing this next song.